Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I got a feeling that there could be somebody driving through town. They own, they run the American Airlines Arena in Dallas.
We're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
Jeff Lutz.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's listening. Mark Cuban, if you're listening, 316-86.
All right, I'll put this out there.
Are you setting yourself up for disappointment?
Okay.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Good afternoon. It is a Monday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio, the first day of August, the year 2022. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host for the next couple of hours. Max Power producing and engineering the show. And we're going to be NBC World Series heavy today. Kevin Jenks will join us at 2:25. He's the tournament director for the NBC, also the executive director of the, what is it?
Greater Wichita Sports Commission. It's also his birthday.
Yeah, it is his birthday. So we'll talk to Kevin Jenks coming up at 2:25. At 2:45, a Wichita treasure, Joe Stevens, will join us to talk about that day in 1955, late December 1955, when the great Bill Russell led the San Francisco Dons into the Roundhouse against Wichita, the University of Wichita Shockers. San Francisco won that game that night by 10 points. I've been looking for stats on that game all day today, and all I can find is that Bill Russell scored 17. I don't know how many rebounds he had.
Were they even keeping track back then?
I don't know. I'm sure they were. He averaged more than 20 rebounds per game during his college career at San Francisco. Of course, Bill Russell died yesterday at the age of 88. And I got a question for you a little bit later about that. But Barry, at 3:25, Barry Adin, the general manager of the Seattle Studs, they're currently in action in the NBC World Series out at X Stadium. He'll join us at 3:25. So my question is, we've had a lot of athletes pass away, a lot of big name, big time, iconic athletes. Where does Bill Russell's passing rank on that?
I don't know. That's kind of weird to rank deaths.
Well, what,
I don't know if I
want to
do that.
What's weird about it?
I don't know. It's just
the impact that it had
on
me yesterday was pretty profound.
Well, he's a huge name, but Muhammad Ali's death was more culturally significant, if you want to go there. I personally don't want to go there, but why don't we just rank the people while they were alive who happened to now be deceased?
Whose death had the most profound effect?
In sports? Muhammad Ali. I don't think there's much of a question about that. I wasn't alive like
when Hank Aaron is a recent one that was really big. I remember when Mickey Mantle passed. That was incredibly big.
Muhammad Ali. I mean, come on.
Kobe Bryant, you know, taken way too young. That factors into it. Why can't we? What's wrong with talking? I don't think it's morbid.
It's pretty morbid.
I don't think it is. I think we're talking about how a death of an athlete.
But you asked where does it rank, and that's
affects
kinda,
you.
I don't want to rank anything like that.
So you don't want me to rank that for my top 10 Thursday?
Please don't.
Well, I don't know why.
You want me to start ranking the deaths of my relatives?
These aren't relatives.
But it's still, I mean, it's not very respectful.
It's completely respectful. I'm completely respectful.
You think the family of Bill Russell would enjoy?
You know, speaking personally, for me, personally, there's two that rank one and two. They're my first and second all-time favorite athletes. Bob Gibson, Dave Stallworth. Those are the two.
Right. Every.
And you know who number three is? Warren Jabali.
Okay, well, that has personal significance.
You could rank them.
But you'd
personally,
also,
and then you can rank them outside of your own personal.
I guess, but you're basically now ranking your favorite athletes who are dead.
No, the effect that it had on you.
But it's the effect because you loved these athletes.
Linwood Sexton had a profound effect because I knew him.
Right.
Considered him a friend. But Bill Russell, that was big yesterday.
I understand.
Did you watch any of the coverage?
No, I was at work all day.
Well, do you not have TVs at a TV station?
Not very many. I mean,
let's be honest. There's nothing going on a Sunday.
I was trying to get some work done. I ended up didn't go super well.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just didn't rise. I didn't have any creative juices flowing. So I started a story, the baseball story, transcribed all the notes and everything like that, and I started the story, and then I was like, I better come back to this later.
That didn't work for me in my career.
Well, I understand, but I wanted to at least get some. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing.
You know what I did when the creative juices weren't flowing?
What?
I went and found some creative juices.
Well, I have time. I didn't need to produce that. Yesterday. It didn't need to be finished yesterday. So the fact that I got anything.
You go and drink herbal tea. You do whatever you have to do to find the creative juices.
Well, I went on television.
If I got to go get some, you know.
What? Why don't you say that out loud? Talk about you getting high and drunk on the job.
Not drunk.
Oh, just high.
I never got high.
Never?
On the job.
No.
And very rarely off the job.
.. on the job.
Well, but I couldn't afford to say I don't have the creative juices today.
Well, I could. So there we go. It's all square.
Well, if you had to go forward, could you have?
Yes. Always. I'm not going to just leave it with an incomplete product.
Since you had no creative juices, and I'll be perfectly frank here, we haven't watched Sports Sunday yet. Was that a dud?
Oh, I killed it.
Well, where'd the creative juice come for that?
Well, the bright lights, the time constraint, the feeling that you got to talk. I mean, you got to say something. It's the same as being on a deadline. You can't just leave blank space out there for people to consume. You got to fill it. You got to fill the space somehow.
Well, what was the discussion?
Well, we talked a lot about the Chiefs. Beginning training camp, Mitch Holtis, a 73-minute interview with T.J. Cleland. And then we wrapped it up with some quick hitters.
I don't know. We're a Wichita. This is Wichita.
I know, but I don't have.
It's Wichita.
What are we supposed to be talking
about? I get it
about?
That the Chiefs are a big deal here. But if I want to get Chiefs coverage, I can tune in so many different. You know what I'm saying?
But does anybody care what I have
Here's
to say about
I'm
the
saying.
Chiefs?
No, absolutely
of
not.
So what am I supposed to say?
They don't care what anybody here asks us. Mitch Holtis, I suppose.
Yeah, he was in good spirits.
Well, Mitch is always in good spirits. But when, you know, the Chiefs training camp, who cares? What's there to say?
Well, they asked if I felt like the Chiefs had a sense of urgency going into this year.
What do you know about their sense of urgency?
I know a lot about their sense of urgency.
Who the hell are you? I'd rather go down to the barber shop and ask a guy about ready to get his hair cut what the urgency's like.
I can't believe you haven't watched Sports Sunday yet.
Well, haven't gotten around to it.
That's upsetting.
I had a lot to do this morning. We just haven't done it yet. My wife and I will watch it this evening.
I'm looking forward to that.
But we have two episodes to finish season two of Ted Lasso.
What's more important?
Ted Lasso, frankly.
How many seasons are there? Because I want not to be talking about this.
Why does it bother you?
I don't know.
Why does it... Tell me why it bothers you.
Is there a TV show that you watched that you didn't just love?
Tell me why that bothers you.
It just does. I don't know.
Why does it... Try to figure out right now what bothers you about it.
Oh, I don't know. There could be any number of
things. I'd love to have an expert opinion on why
this... I never hear Debbie like talking about, we just finished season two of House Hunters. Does she ever get to hold the remote and determine what's going on?
Is that what it is?
It might be a little bit of
that. I don't think that's what it is.
It might be a little
bit. I think you're going to something that you think will work for you.
I'm genuinely curious.
I have expanded my wife's universe.
Why hasn't she expanded yours?
She has.
How?
In many ways. Not necessarily watching House Hunters, but in many other ways has expanded my universe.
Well, I would hope so.
Beyond where I ever thought it would be. But I've expanded her entertainment universe.
But does that do anything for her?
Yes. Yes.
Is that a mark on her resume?
I've given her... some things that have been highly entertaining to her. Do you understand that? She is as much into Ted Lasso as I am.
You sure?
Why does that... Let's go right back to the question again. Why are you bothered by this?
It's just because it's constant. If I was doing it, maybe, I don't know, it might be okay.
Is it jealousy?
Jealousy?
Is it a little bit of envy that my dad and Mike Furches can get on here and have these great discussions, and I'm over here with my Indians hat going, I watched Gunsmoke, or whatever you watched.
I watched baseball. You don't watch anything. I'm excited to go home and watch Cleveland.
I watch baseball.
Then how do you watch all these other shows? Because baseball is 3 hours a night. How do you have more time than that?
I watched baseball yesterday afternoon.
Well, understood.
Tonight there's no baseball to watch. Tonight we'll wrap up Ted Lasso. We might watch Sports Sunday.
Better
if it's still in our queue. But if now that I know what it's about, you talking about the Chiefs? What is it again?
Sense of urgency.
Why do I want to see that?
I don't know.
I mean, why do I love you, but why do I want to see Jeff, what do you think about the Chiefs' sense of urgency?
I'd rather not talk about this?
No, you got to
on TV, can I say that?
No, Jeff, we're here with Jeff Lutz.
We're here with Jeff Lutz. We're talking about co-host of the show.
We're talking about the Chiefs. Jeff, what are you feeling like their sense of urgency is going into the 2022 campaign?
Oh, it's got to be super high. Now let's move on.
No, really. What did you say?
I said it depends on how you define sense of urgency. Are they feeling added pressure and like this is, you know, teams are nipping at our heels and they're worried about that? No. But do they have to start the season kind of on their best foot and playing their best because of the schedule? Yes. So it depends on how you define it.
You lost me.
No, I didn't. That's great stuff. That's beautiful.
What was the other question?
Oh, we talked... about Patrick Mahomes. I can't remember. There was one question about him talking about black quarterbacks. I can't remember the other one, though.
And what other topic was there outside of the Chiefs?
I don't remember if there was anything in the first segment outside of the Chiefs. I think that might have been it.
And then an interview with Mitch Holthus about. And then what was the third segment?
Well, we talked TBT for a little bit. I think we talked trade deadline and maybe a couple other. Bill Russell.
Quick hits.
Yeah.
Quick hits.
Yeah, but we had a little bit extra time, so we spent maybe a minute on each topic.
Yeah, I don't mind the quick hit.
I said Bill Russell was the second most legendary, iconic basketball player ever. Do you think that's fair?
Behind Jordan?
Yeah, like most just universally known.
I think that's probably an accurate statement, although Wilt Chamberlain would be...
He's right there.
Would be in that
but
discussion.
But those Celtics of that era, I mean, everybody
but Wilt's,
knows.
Wilt was known beyond basketball, if you know what I'm getting at.
I don't want to.
Well, yeah, I don't care if you want to know
he
what.
He was known on street corners in every
I'll
city.
Tell you the urgency Wilt Chamberlain felt.
Break.
Oh, that was fun. Why do we need a break? No, that was hilarious.
It was all right.
I don't know why you fight me on that
stuff. I'm not fighting you. I just don't want you to feel too good about it.
How rare is it that I laugh at my own stuff? Very rare.
Every day.
No, extremely rare.
No, please. That's not
that
at all.
That happened
accurate.
To be kind of funny.
Sort of funny.
So I would say that Jordan, Russell, Chamberlain are the top three. I don't think there can be any doubt about that.
Well, my young guy co-host, I think he's in his late 20s, actually, so not too young. He said, well, we got to do 22 minutes on LeBron James for you next week. Like, I get it. But Bill Russell supersedes LeBron James.
LeBron's right there. LeBron's right there.
But cultural impact, Bill Russell hasn't beat by miles.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the three. I think it's the three that I said, but I could see LeBron getting into that top three. Maybe it's not crazy.
Kobe.
No, I think Magic over Kobe.
No, it's Kobe because he's.
It's Magic.
We love Magic.
It's Magic,
but his post-basketball career has not given us a whole lot. It's given society a whole lot. He's done some great things, but...
It's Magic.
He hasn't been at the forefront of our eyeballs.
Of course he has.
He's not... What
he's
is
involved
he?
In everything.
I know. He's got the Dodge, but I'm saying, like...
He's involved in everything.
I understand.
You can't go any... You can't look at anything without seeing Magic. He's
but
everywhere.
What has he
he's
given
omnipresent.
Us?
He's given us... he's built up the black community.
No, I get all that. I'm talking about an entertainment... For entertainment purposes, what has Magic given us?
He's got a, I don't know.
Not much.
What's Kobe, what did Kobe give us entertainment-wise?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, Magic had his,
I don't know where you're going with all
his
that.
His charisma's kind of lacking.
Oh, definitely
he tried
not.
That TV thing, it was horrendous.
Definitely not.
He tried to be on TNT, wasn't very good. His
Magic's
Twitter
account. Magic's got great charisma.
Not sure.
That's all. That's what Magic is.
No, on
he's just
on
a
the
walking
court,
ball of charisma.
On the court, sure, he certainly was. But off the court,
if they hadn't chosen the nickname Magic Johnson, it would have been Charismatic Johnson.
Well, maybe for what he did on the court.
Do you like that nickname?
Not at all.
There's Charismatic. It's a great nickname.
You're feeling it today, huh?
You're jealous, aren't you?
Not at all.
Because here's the thing about me. I never take a step back. I never look at things and say, I don't have the juice today or whatever you did. I'm here to go.
You don't think there's an author who sat down to write and just didn't have it that day? What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know that it's anything.
I'd rather produce my best work than produce something.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'd just get up and walk around and come back to it.
Well, I walked around for... 16 hours, and I'll come back to it at another time.
Well, when's it due? When?
Probably, I don't know. I don't know when we're running the television piece. We got Election Day coming up, and that'll carry our next 2 days. There's always something happening, but we'll put it out there. And they loved my idea of writing on people who are next to famous people in their high school year.
Well, I can't wait for that.
I already found the guy who was next to Martina McBride at Sharon High School.
I can't wait for that piece.
It's going to be a good one.
Be wonderful.
Lily Wu wants to get in on it with me, so what a team we'll make.
Well, what's your role going to be in that?
To write it.
So you're the guy that has the great ideas, and you get four viewers on your written piece, and the on-air people get your idea, and they get millions of hits.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how many hits they get, but I'm not a television reporter, so I'm in the background.
So are you a producer?
I don't know what I am.
Well, you need to figure that out.
I'm a reporter, but I'm not a television reporter.
Well,
not on the air.
You need somebody
in that capacity.
You need somebody representing you, it sounds like.
Well, I'll have a conversation with my boss and see what her ideal role for me would be.
Oh my gosh. All right, it is time for a break. We're happy you're listening. It is a warm, warm Monday. The cool days are gone for a while. Cool being low 80s, high 70s. We'll be back. We'll talk with NBC tournament director Kevin Jenks, the birthday boy, after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
This is War, the band, from 50 years ago, 1972, the summer of 72, Slipping Into Darkness, as we continue with our theme of the past few weeks, playing songs from 50, 40, 30, and 20 years ago.
Great stuff.
Kevin Jenks joins us, the tournament director for the NBC World Series, president of the Wichita Area Sports Commission. Kevin,
Greater
welcome.
Greater Wichita Sports Commission.
Whatever it is. You know what? I've tried to remember the name of it.
I'm helping you.
Whatever it is, Kevin, you're the president of it. Congratulations.
And CEO.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you both. Yeah. Yes. Great way to spend it, as always.
Are the Seattle Studs winning their game today?
They just finished the game. They actually lost the game. It didn't matter. They're already 2-0. They'd already sealed the top seed from their pool. So I know you're going to be talking to their manager Barry Adin here next hour, I think. And he played a lot of guys that have been with him all year that maybe haven't seen the field as much as some others. And so they get a chance to do their thing. And they just lost, but it doesn't hurt them as far as their seeding for the elimination bracket. It starts Thursday.
So it sounds like, and I did not make it over to Hutch, but it sounds like things went very well in Hutchinson. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, we're extremely happy. You know, we were able to, you know, the forecast last Tuesday did not look good for us, and we were expecting rain every day, and it looked like the percentages were pretty high, and we only had one day where rain came into play, and that just delayed us from a starting point for an hour, and we were able to roll through and keep things on schedule. So very fortunate with the weather last week, and you know, it's a challenge when you're going to play four games a day, and certainly I love, as a baseball guy, I love the natural stuff, you know, the turf and the dirt. When it's coming through with potential rain, but no, we were able to make it through, and grounds crew over there worked triple overtime to get us on, to keep us on schedule and everything each morning. So I'm very happy with the outcome for Hutchinson.
Yeah, what is that? What did that kind of more intimate setting do for the atmosphere? It seemed like everyone was kind of into it. It was relatively loud and boisterous. Was it a good atmosphere out there?
Well, certainly it helps. You know, the Hutch Monarchs have slowly built their program and gotten better, honestly, year after year after year, and one of our top teams. And, you know, they have a great following in Hutchinson. And as you guys know, are aware of the history of baseball in Hutchinson, going back to Barry Bonds and Rafael Palmeiro and Roger Clemens playing there during the 70s, 80s, I think. I'm losing my decades there. But, you know, so the community comes out. It's a big sports town. They love it. You know, it helps that the libations are for a pretty inexpensive rate, too. And so people are able to have a good time at Hobart Dedder.
Kevin Jenks, our guest from the NBC World Series tournament director. So I'm just going to ask this question. You can choose to answer it in any way you see viable. Has there been any thought of just moving this tournament permanently to Hutchinson, giving Hutchinson the reins of this baby and seeing what can happen? Or are you comfortable having a week in Hutchinson and a week at Eck and doing that on into the future? Do you think that's the best for the tournament?
Well, I will say this. There is a lot of conversation about the future of the NBC, about playing. It is an extreme challenge for our staff to load up shop and go to Hutchinson, play for 4 or 5 days. And then we immediately, like last night, yesterday, we moved our game times up to 9, noon, 3, and 6, because, you know, we get done with the game, say 9 o'clock. We're packing everything up. We're, you know, trying to get things closed up for the day, make sure the stadium's in a good place before we leave it, and then get over to Wichita, get some sleep, and then immediately, you know, at dawn, we're here at X Stadium unloading the same stuff that we packed, you know, less than 12 hours ago, and then we got to get ready for a ball game at noon. And so that's a challenge. We would like to have just one facility where we play the majority of the games. You know, and so there's a lot of discussion about how that looks for things. Hutchinson is a great host, a phenomenal host. They enjoy having us there. It's great. The challenge is that it's natural turf, and you've got dirt. And so when you have weather, and we did have weather there, thank goodness it came in during the night and early mornings, and we were able to get games in as they started at noon. But if that rain comes at, say, 3 p.m, it's not good. So that's the challenge of being in Hutch with it. So, you know, there's a lot of conversation taking place, and we'll see what how things can look where we play. But, yeah, we would prefer to be in one location for the entire event. And maybe someday it would be Hutch, but at the same time, though, Wichita is our home, and we prefer to stay here.
So we know Lone Star, Liberal, Seattle, Santa Barbara are in the single elimination tournament. Has anyone else been advanced yet to that single elimination? What do the next couple days look like at Eck?
You know, our next game here, this 3 o'clock game between the Hutch Monarchs and OKC D-Bad, those two teams are battling out. The winner advances out of their pool as the 2 seed from their pool. You know, Seattle has struggled the last few years, but I will tell you, and I wouldn't even put this game they just played into it. but they're playing Seattle Steds baseball once again. You know, they're loud in the dugout, and they're bunting and they're stealing and they're hitting running, and they're just getting creative. They're manufacturing runs, and I know you guys love that term, as manufacturing runs. Lone Star,
my favorite thing
really
in
good.
Baseball.
Lone Star looks really good. They're stacked. I think they have better talent than they have. We'll see what Santa Barbara does. I mean, you look at their roster, and it's certainly peppered with a lot of Division One, strong Division One players. But I think there's going to be someone who really gives them a test once we get into the single elimination bracket, and it should be interesting to see who that is.
Kevin Jenks with us from the National Baseball Congress World Series. We've got Hayes still alive. We've certainly got Liberal, which has already advanced into the single elimination pool. Are those teams viable? Are those teams contenders, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think Liberal's the tough one. They're the strong one. They've had a good summer. They won the Rocky Mountain Baseball League. They transferred over to it this first year. They won it, I think, by a game or two over Hayes, and Hayes lost a tough one to the Seattle Studs the other night. And so those old guard, you know, teams have been coming to the NBC for decades, honestly. You know, they're strong, and so. But that up and comer right now is Lone Star Baseball Club. Their runner up finished last year. I think they've regrouped and they've got some good players and some what I would call bigger players. That certainly looks good when you walk off the bus, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting, especially with the single elimination. Going back to it, there's more pressure to win, whether you're talented like the Foresters or you're someone who can put some pressure in some different ways. You know, I know when you talk to Barry here, he's been through a lot of battles here at the NBC, and he gets pretty creative when it comes to managing games.
So, you know, we've seen the Jayhawk League kind of disband and those teams dispersed. Where we had many, many leagues in summer baseball in the Wichita area, now we have, what, just one? Is it only the Sunflower?
No, just in Kansas, there's three leagues that exist. And, you know, the Mid-States League, which is, you know, in the northeast part of the state, I think, you know, it's diluted. And that's across the country. That's not just here locally. There's more opportunities for college kids to play in the summer. You know, and you see that. But I also think as a whole, you don't see the strengths. Leagues aren't as strong from top to bottom as they once were when the Jayhawk existed.
So how is that? How important is that relationship between the NBC and the Sunflower, kind of the last one standing here around Wichita, at least?
It's extremely important. You know, it's, I think we need to try to strengthen the relationship with the Sunflower League and all of our affiliations. You know, we're looking at, it's no secret that, you know, with the transition of me into the new role with the sports commission, you know, we intend to hire someone to take on the day-to-day operations and the duties of being the eventual tournament director. And replace me. I'll still be involved in things, but I think it needs a reboot. I think it needs someone with a different look at it. I've been, you know, to a point, very traditional in a lot of ways, and so I'm good and perfectly fine with stepping aside and letting someone else come in and you know, with some fresh perspectives and run with it. But it also needs someone who can devote time to it, and that's something that I've struggled with personally in the, you know, the past year.
Talking with Kevin Jenks, I know we've got a competing tournament in town right now that starts, I believe, on Wednesday. Is it called the Summer Ball Showdown? Is that accurate, Kevin? Do you know? Because I've tried to find information on this tournament, and it's hard to find.
Well, I don't know much about it. I'll use the term. I said I've got my own three-ring circus to worry about. So we're aware of the event, and we feel our event's pretty good. and not just from a tradition or a historical point of view. When you look at the locations we play, you look at the teams and certainly the talent and just certainly at the level of professionalism, we run our event. And so, you know, we know there are other, and it's not just locally, there's other events that are or tournaments that are taking place at this time of year. And, you know, we certainly understand and there's opportunities out there. And people see some things to whether they want to make, you know, make a quick buck. You know, we're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to come out of this and get strong. You know, what hurts us is not having one location. You know, I think we were in a really good spot when we were able to play the entire World Series at Lawrence Dumont Stadium. And so once we can establish maybe a home as opposed to being some traveling gypsies in a way, we'll be fine. And so, and that's a conversation taking place every day right now.
All right. Well, it's an ongoing thing. The NBC World Series in its 87th year. Is that correct?
Number 88.
Good grief. The same as Bill Russell. That's wow. Remarkable. Games
yeah,
today.
Unfortunate to see him pass away.
Yeah, it was. Games today, the Austin Shockers have already defeated the Seattle Studs. Right now, the Hutchinson Monarchs, Oklahoma City D-Bat. At 6 o'clock out at X Stadium, Lone Star, Texas, against the Hayes Larks. That winner going on into the pool play. And then at 8:30, 316 Elite against the Lone Star Baseball Club. All of that today in the NBC World Series at X Stadium. Four more games tomorrow. Kevin, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. With us from the NBC and the Greater Wichita Area Sports Commission.
Nope.
The Greater Wichita Sports Commission.
There you go.
What's wrong with the Greater Wichita Area Sports
Commission? Well, Greater Wichita includes the area.
That's a good point, but the greater area is it makes it sound bigger.
Not really. It could be Wichita area or Greater Wichita. I think those are redundant. We don't need both.
You know, my years covering the NBC were many, and I've always taken pride in that tournament, and it just feels to me like they should play it in Hutchinson.
Maybe.
But you know, who am I? I get it that they don't necessarily want the rain issues. I completely understand that. But let's get with some sponsors and turf that field over there.
If I didn't have the best job in the world and a desire to feed my family, I might take a look at that NBC gig.
Let's calm down, okay?
Well, I'm not going to do it, but...
Let's just calm everything down.
I think I'm pretty calm.
Yeah, I don't know that that's where you need to go at this point.
Well, as I just said, I'm not going to, but as a younger man, maybe I would have.
Well, perhaps. But you've got a pretty good situation going
on. I'm
now.
Not at that stage in my life. I'm not leaving where I currently am.
No, I hope
ever.
You... Well, I don't know about ever, but...
Well, it's not going to be my decision.
Well, I certainly hope you, you know, hang in there for a while longer.
Much longer, yes.
We're waiting for Joe Stevens, who will join us here shortly. Joe is on the line. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, how are y'all?
We're doing well. You're on with Bob and my son, Jeff, and we've been looking forward
okay.
to talking to you.
Good. It's exciting to me.
It is exciting.
He changed the game.
Well, we want to talk to you about Bill Russell. Of course, he came to Wichita back on December 20th, 1955, to the Roundhouse. That right. team was the defending NCAA champions. And they beat the Shockers 75-65 in front of a packed house. And it was a good basketball game. What do you remember about that game, Joe?
Oh, boy, I tell you, I would have thought going in that they were going to destroy us. But we played pretty doggone good. And they didn't let up, you know, 75 points. And we didn't let up either. And 10 points is... It's hard to erase when you play in a team like San Francisco. But Bill Russell, come on, he changed the game. I've been a basketball fan all my life, and Bill Russell changed the game because what he did, defensively and the way he handled the offense, the shots. He blocked shots after shots after shots. Guys got goosey when they shot and they couldn't make the basket. But he changed the game. 6'10", and his defense and blocking. Of course, then at the field house, they had K.C. Jones and Hal Perry, two guards. So great guards. So no wonder they won the national championship. But Bill Russell changed the game. Now you see a lot of African-American men doing very well, probably as good as he did when he first came. But he opened the gate for them. But defensively, there was no one better than he was.
Yeah, it's weird to think about Bill Russell before he went to the Celtics and won all those championships and became this legendary, larger-than-life figure. When he came to Wichita and when he was at San Francisco, was he just a great basketball player, or was he more than that? Had his legend already start to grow yet?
Well, I think it started to grow in that era when the Oklahoma City tournament the year before, where San Francisco went in and they won the tournament. Now, I was a freshman then, and freshmen could not play. That was a rule the NCAA had. Can't play varsity ball for some stupid rule. But I went down to Oklahoma City to watch the Shockers, and we played them, and he destroyed them, blocking the shots. He blocked the shot after shot. And you get goosey when you shoot. And then if you're shooting from the perimeter, you got K.C. Jones and Hal Perry as guards. They're all over you, too. But I'm glad I got to see him. I'm glad I got to play against him. But I thought we did pretty doggone good here in Wichita, just losing by 10 points.
Yeah, and as I said, that was the year the Roundhouse opened particular year. So it was really only the fourth game, I believe, that was played inside that arena. It was brand new. There had really been nothing like it. It was an exciting time for University of Wichita basketball, and I'm sure that crowd was amped up for that game, wasn't it, Joe?
Oh, they were. In fact, with the new field house, that catapulted the game, the Shocker basketball program, because, man, it went up after that, and the teams got better. Although I was a sophomore when we played them in Oklahoma City, but we had respectable seasons. We really did.
And I was just telling my son Jeff that particular season, basketball obviously was, college basketball was much different then than it is now. But you opened the season with 7 home games against Utah, KU, Nebraska, UCLA, TCU, San Francisco, Southern Methodist, and Santa Clara. That would never happen today, of course, but wow, that's amazing.
It was a strong, I think the field house is what did it. They wanted to come play in the field house, and Ralph put it all together. But how many quality teams came in to play at that time? Fabulous. It's fabulous.
Did you ever get a chance outside of the game? I don't know if you had communication with him, but did you ever have a conversation with Bill? Did you meet him later on in life at all? How would that go?
I wish I would have, but I didn't have any communication with him. As I say, I was a sophomore and he was a junior, but I didn't see him again after they came to the field house. But I watched him at the Oklahoma City tournament down there the year before when they won the Oklahoma City tournament. And everyone was talking, who is this guy? Look at him, what he's doing. Ball's on the rim, getting ready to go in. He went in there and pulled it out of the net. And it wasn't against the rules. So it psyched you mentally. When you went up to shoot, boom, he'd block it. So he changed the game. From that point on, every college wanted to get a big African-American player to play.
Yeah, you mentioned the year before, and that the Shockers played in the all-college tournament in Oklahoma City, and one of their foes was San Francisco with Bill Russell. San Francisco won that game by 19 points and had Cleo Littleton on the Shocker team that year. So yeah. You guys actually, the next year, made a better showing against the Dons.
Yeah, we did. I don't know how that happened. I can't remember that far back, but we did that. That's true.
Were you never a Celtics fan, Joe? Did you never become
Not before that. Now, when he went to the Celtics, I followed him for years because I wouldn't say he's my idol, but having played the game, I wanted to see this, how this fellow, one man, was going to change the game of basketball, and he did. I know it's, some people would debate that with me, but he brought the big African Americans in that could block the shots and take the ball away. And when they became shooters, they were really a double weapon.
And then you also, one of the big debates is that Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain, who was the better player in your opinion?
Bill Russell.
Why do you think that, well, Joe?
Defensively, he blocked more shots. He was a rebounder. I don't know, Wilt was a shooter. I think they were two different players, but I'd rather take Bill Russell over Wilt, with no disrespect to Wilt, because Bill, you'll win championships, you win games with Bill Russell. Wow.
Well, they won a bunch of them, two at the collegiate level, 11 at the NBA level, an Olympic title, a couple more as a coach. A lot of gold hanging around Bill Russell's neck. He was an amazing, amazing player.
No question. He changed the game, and I'm for changing the game. Who would have ever thought 25, 30, 40 years the game would change? You shoot the ball, it has a basket. But the game has changed because of Bill Russell. All the colleges wanted the big guy now because they wanted to be like Bill Russell.
Joe, you still doing magic?
Yeah, I'm sitting here in my little magic shop having fun.
Yeah, good for you. We appreciate you. Joe, it's always a pleasure.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good
for
to catch up with you.
Same here. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Joe Stevens, of course, one of the great Shockers of all time. Played in the 50s, North High School.
My
God. Share that with him.
Yeah. We're proud of that.
All right. Hour number two coming up. Bob and Jeff, KFH Radio. We have a pair of tickets to give away. The Backstreet Boys, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming to Wichita on Tuesday, September 13th. The DNA World Tour, 869-1240 right now, gets you two tickets to see the Backstreet Boys in about 6 weeks. Back in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.